께서시험발사성공
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize and three-dimensionalize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors from North Korea now living elsewhere and sometimes from sources still living within North Korea. I am Paran Kelleher, your host. In this episode, I will share with you the response to a question posed in the Ask a North Korean feature of nknews.org website. That question being, what does it mean to be cool in North Korea? The short answer is that being cool can be divided into two categories, preferences for foreign culture and products, and secondly, whatever is unique. The North Korean defector answering this question points out that North Koreans are like all human beings in their appreciation of beauty. He points out that until recently, it was easy for the state to control standards of beauty by controlling the public's access to information and cultural influences from the outside world. During the decades-long period of isolation, the writer says, quote, just because the Juche Tower or the mosaic art covering the walls of the Pyongyang metro station has been created for political purposes does not mean that it has no artistic value. Just because it is used for political purposes does not mean that the innate value of beauty also disappears. In fact, that it emerged in North Korea's isolated situation and policies make it more unique and interesting, end quote. This could be fodder for an interesting philosophical discussion about art beyond the scope of this program. It's also a good time to point out that the content and opinions expressed in the website articles I'm sharing do not necessarily represent the views of the source website, in this case nknews.org, nor do they represent the views of KTWH or even necessarily this program's host. The writer goes on to acknowledge that North Koreans are now being influenced and even imitating the beauty of the outside world, especially in the last 10 years or so, with the prevalence of outside media finding its way into Korea across the border with China, and that this exposure is contributing to, quote, a growing contradiction between the regime and its people, end quote. The outside media comes in the form of foreign movies and drama, and I was surprised to read that Korean dramas come into North Korea within a week of when they were televised in South Korea. So within a week or at most a month from their original production, people in North Korea are imitating the hairstyles and clothes that appear on these videos. This is possible, again, because of the growth of the jangmadang, or private markets. People see the fashions and hairstyles represented on the videos, figure out how to imitate them themselves, and because these are considered to be trendy things, end up making money by producing them for other people. They do so at some risk because these styles are not accepted publicly, and this is what is just hard to understand, how these things can be trendy and imitated, and yet they can get into trouble if the wrong people from the state interpret their hairstyle or wardrobe to be inappropriately of foreign influence. Quoting again from this article, despite all this, people continue to attempt to imitate these new foreign beauty trends. What is cool is associated with seeking out what is unique. As North Korea is a dictatorship, I believe that there is a deeper meaning underlying this phenomenon. Under a dictatorship and under a system where everyone must follow strict orders, the fact that people want to stand out means, in some ways, that individuality is like a bomb that can destroy homogeneity. This has spread throughout North Korea and is related to the market economy and principles of capitalism. In 2014, the year that I left North Korea, North Korea's first smartphone, Arirang, emerged. However, because of limits on its production, these phones became objects that carried a unique allure. Despite the price that the government had set, through private dealings, the price of these phones spiked. Because of this, Arirang smartphones became the best thing to obtain for people who wanted to be unique. It may sound absurd, but these smartphones raised your status as a person. End quote. Well, it doesn't sound absurd at all. I think it's worked the same way in this country when smartphones were first coming out. You were pretty cool if you had one. The upshot of it all is, in the words of the author of this article, like everywhere, being cool in North Korea depends on money. The reference to the smartphones as being the vector of outside culture and information coming into North Korea, brought to mind another article I saw recently. This one from the dailynk.com, titled, Younger North Koreans Turn to Technology to Share Information. It was apparently about 2010 that mobile phones first started to spread in North Korea. Not smartphones, but just like cell phones. And when these were released, the author of this article says that, quote, the locals were shocked, end quote. The fact that you could talk to people on a phone while walking down the street was quite amazing. Until the middle 2000s, people had to actually go to each other's houses to communicate or carry on any kind of urgent business. Landlines were just introduced to most people towards the end of the 1990s in the Pyongyang area and spread to the outer provinces in the early 2000s. So the doors of the houses in North Korea are made of thick iron to deter thieves, and so the loud noise of pounding on a door to get someone's attention was a commonly heard sound around North Korea, but apparently it is quite rare these days. Also, handwritten letters are all but disappearing, along with mailmen, as, sorry to say, seems to be the case in this country. All this because of the prevalence of cell phones and even now smartphones in North Korea. Something that might not come to your mind when you think of everyday North Koreans. I recently talked about the influx of USB drives replacing CDs and DVDs as sources of outside media. I'm not exactly the most tech-savvy person myself, so it hadn't even occurred to me that SD cards would be actually the latest wave. And among young people in North Korea, flash drives are kind of on the outs, and SD cards are even smaller and lighter weight than USB drives, work in multiple kinds of devices, and being so small, they are a lot easier to hide, as well as to carry around in quantities. Another interesting development is that people are preferring smaller LCD TVs these days in North Korea, partly probably because of their smaller size, easier to conceal, but also they operate on a much smaller amount of electricity that conceivably can be provided by solar panels. Solar panels are another up-and-coming thing in North Korea. Quoting from the last paragraph of this article about the younger generation of North Koreans turning to technology, quote, so the younger generation, especially those who were born in the 1980s and 90s, are becoming adept at sharing information through electronic devices. Older merchants buy smartphones to conduct business, but younger people buy them to obtain information. They watch South Korean TV series and other multimedia content all night with SD cards slotted into smartphones. This is how they are learning about the world. End quote. Returning to the subject of landlines for a moment, there was an article in the dailynk.com back in the middle of this past December titled, Landline Telephone Services Shut Down Nationwide, Possibly Due to Leaked Phone Directories. Apparently, the North Korean regime has set out to completely change its phone number system because someone had leaked a telephone book out of the country. Among other things, the telephone directory contains numbers of government departments, and because of the fact that people outside the country might be interested in those numbers and those departments, the government classified all phone directories as sensitive documents. So when people were discovered smuggling them out of the country, it violated the security of all the phone numbers in the country, and so all the landlines have been suspended while they change all of the numbers. This is having an impact on people's ability to do business around the country, and is causing increased cost because of the necessity to use mobile phones to do their business and even government business. It's suspected it may take up to 6 months for this overhaul of the phone system to be completed, but there's also really not designated funding for it, so it's apparently proceeding at a snail's pace. This story comes from several different sources within North Korea, and again was published in the dailynk.com. Using cell phones to contact anyone outside of the country is another whole matter. People doing so are subject to severe punishment. That may be subject for another episode. Meanwhile, tune in again for another episode of Window on North Korea, generally aired at 10 a.m. on Saturdays here on KTWH Two Harbors.